Well, good morning. My name is Ben Phillips. Me and my wife, Chelsea, we are on staff here at Rev City Church. We are the new high school ministry directors. And I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. I also want to say good morning to anyone watching online. We're super excited that you're here with us today. And today, yeah, I just want to share a little real quickly before we get into it, because I don't have a long time. I want to get right into the word. But before we do that, I want to just tell you a little bit about us. For those of you who maybe don't know us, we're still getting to know many of you guys here. Me and Chelsea, we are from the great state of Kansas, as most of you guys are in this room. For the last couple years, before we joined staff here, we're traveling, the last three to five years, traveling with YWAM, Youth in the Mission, missionaries, where we were going all across America, inviting young people to take action under the Great Commission. That was our job. That's what we did. And we're still doing that today. We're happy to be here, doing it here, planted here. Actually, I think we have a photo of my family. There they are. My family's right there. That is me and my wife, Chelsea, who are both over the youth, high school youth directors for here at Rev City, and our baby boy, Elijah, who is 9 months old. He's very cute. He looks like his mom. It's true. It's not me. But yeah, I'm super excited to be here with you guys today. And before we do anything, I just want to, a few small details I want to make sure that we are on the same page about. First one is this. Today, as I'm preaching, I want to give you the license and the permission to holler back at me. Okay? That as I'm preaching, as I'm teaching, I'm giving you permission today that you can say amen. You can say that's good. And not so much for me, but that way I know we're on the same page and that we're understanding the same thing. So I'm telling you right now, I'm giving you permission that you can speak to me. We can talk back and forth because we're going to talk back and forth a little bit today. First thing I want to do is this. Before we really get started, we're going to get right into the Word of God. I want us to do something that I think is always vital and important. I always want to show honor where honor is due. So this morning, I just want to take the next 10 to 15 seconds, and would you guys help me? Would we stand to our feet for a moment, and would we just honor the amazing man and woman of God of this house here at Rev City Church? How thankful we are for them, how much we appreciate them. Pastor Thomas and Amity, we're so thankful to have pastors who love God, who lead us the way they do. Thank you, guys. You guys may be seated. Last thing before we start. I wasn't going to do this, but I want to be real with you this morning that this week I've struggled with my flesh a little bit when it comes to this message. And what I mean by that is that in preparing for this message and getting ready for this message, I find myself as someone who is new to this church. I'm like, oh, man, well, it needs to be a certain way. Or, man, I hope that they like what I have to say. Or I hope that they really like what the things that I say, the way I talk. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care. I cannot come to you today with this. I can no longer hold this thing that I've been trying to put up against this word and put up against this message, trying to bring this idea in my head that it needs to be a certain way. I can only do one thing today, and that is to share the gospel truth with you today. Is that okay? Is that all right? So I'm not here today to present you eloquent speech. I'm not here today to entertain you. I'm here to bring you the gospel, and we're going to go right into it. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Give you guys a second to get there if you want to follow along with me. I'll be reading out of the ESV. It's Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. It should also be on the screens. I'll read it. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, God. Here I am. Send me." Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would be with us today, God. I ask that you be the one that would speak this morning. That even right now, Lord, would you be softening our hearts to receive the things that you would want to teach us today, Lord? Lord, we've come here for one thing, and that is to see you, God, and to see you rightly. So I pray that today, Lord, you would move in might, you would move in power. We say, Holy Spirit, would you do only what you can do? Would you take over this space, you take over this place, God, that our eyes are fixed on you. We love you. We worship you. You're worthy of all the glory. You're worthy of all the praise. And you're worthy of all the honor. And all those who agreed said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Yeah, this week, as I've been preparing for this message and getting ready for this message, I've still been in the office and stuff, obviously, and I've been praying for you guys and praying for this message and praying for this word. And my prayer is that today our eyes would be open to who God really and truly is. That today our eyes would be open to see him as holy. That today our eyes would be open to see him as the one true living God. And many of us in modern Christianity, if we can be real for a moment, have lost proper sight of who God is. And today I want to challenge us today. So I'm going to ask you that today you would lean in. That today you would press in. That's why I said talk back. I want you to challenge and engage with you today because I believe the Lord wants to speak something today to each and every one of us in the room. But I want to challenge us today to move past cultural and casual Christianity. And that today our eyes would be fixed on Jesus and that today we would see him for who he truly is. Who we see God for who he truly is. So let's dive into the text. Today, the way I want to do this, I want to break down the text, what we just read, for us to get proper perspective, understanding, even historical background of what is happening in the area, what is happening in the land in this day and time that we're currently reading about. The year is 740 BC. The place is Jerusalem. And the writer is a man named Isaiah, who we all know is a great prophet of God. The timing is a nation of God that is far from God. And I would say for a moment, if I would sit here for a moment and pause, I would say that just like this nation was far from God, I would say also our nation is far from God. And that today, not just us and ourselves, but our nation, we also need a wake-up call to where we would once again see God for who he truly is. So at this time, the reigning king is a godlike figure to the people, an idol of sorts almost to the people. It says that in Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I want to look at something in the text. King Uzziah, who is this man? Who is this man? Uzziah was one of the greatest kings to ever lead Israel. Okay? I'm going to give a little context. He was one of the greatest kings to ever lead Israel. Very much similar in a lot of ways and revered in many ways as like a David or as a Solomon. Like he was an important figure, obviously a king, but he was important to the people of Israel. And he would come at a very young age to power and to be king of Israel at the age of 16. And he would reign over Israel for 52 years. That's a long time. For us, that'd be almost as if right now, me at the age of 29, that we'd have the same president until I'm 83 or 82, whatever it might be. I don't know what the number is. The point is, it's significant that this king has passed away. It's significant. This is all that the people know is this guy, is this king, Uzziah. So it's significant for us to understand this and know this as to why, when we talk about him, why it matters. What is happening? What is the context? What is going on in this moment in history? So it's significant that he has passed away, that he is all that the people have ever known up to this point. Most of the people have ever known up to this point. His reign brought stability, it brought military strength and prosperity. But towards the end of his life, he would go into the temple and dishonor God. Because he would dishonor what was holy, he would be struck with leprosy. He died a leper in the final days of his life. But when he died, the nation felt much uncertainty and much unrest. What are we going to do? The king is dead. What are we going to do? Our leader is dead. Our leader is gone. The future was unclear. The people were likely fearful for what was to come next. But notice what Isaiah writes. He says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. That in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. There's a beautiful revelation that's happening in this text. If you look at it, look at the text. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Look at the parallel and correlation between death and sight. Look at it. Isaiah is essentially saying this. Listen, When everything around me was shaking, I saw the one true king who was still on the throne. When everything started to go south, when everything started to go sideways, I saw the Lord. There is a correlation sometimes there's a correlation between death and sight. That sometimes things that we put before God must die for us to see the Lord more clearly, must get out of the way for us to see the Lord more clearly. We might have to cut out some things in our life so we can see the Lord more clearly. What do I mean? What am I saying? Sometimes there's things that are getting in the way of us seeing the Lord as we should, as we ought to. Sometimes even the thing that breaks our heart, the thing that breaks your heart becomes the thing that actually will open your eyes. That it seems hard to let this thing go, but actually letting that thing go will open your eyes to the truth of who God is or where he's taking you. The people became dependent on a king instead of God. They made him an idol above the Lord. And my question today is this: are there some things in your own life, or maybe there's some idols or some things in your own life that are stopping you from seeing God clearly, stopping you from seeing God as you should? And today my heart in this message is not to beat us up, but to say it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us as the church to be ones who to wake up and see God rightly. We might have to let some things go. We might have to let some friendships go. We might have to let some relationships go in order to see God rightly. We might have to let go of some perspectives, some false narratives that we've made up in order to see the Lord rightly. There might be some things that we have to let go in order to see him rightly. Isaiah writes, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, where? High and lifted up. High and lifted up. High and lifted up. High and lifted up. Above what? Above all earthly kings? Above all prophets? For us, above all politicians? For us, above all influencers? Above your favorite preacher? We have to see, he saw him high and lifted up. This is how we have to see the Lord. This is how we have to see the Lord. Isaiah saw him the way we need to see him. Look, Isaiah saw him the way we need to see him, high and lifted up above everything else in his life. It's the same way that we need to see the Lord. That nothing else will come before the Lord. He is seated upon a throne. He is seated upon a throne. In position of authority. He's not sitting there worried or concerned. He's not frantic. He is sitting there. And he says when he sees him high and lifted up. He's in a position of authority. He's in control. Can I tell you that God is in control? I think it's really important for us. Thank you. I think it's really important for us to remember this picture of the Lord. Hear me. So the next time that you think that the Lord can't handle your mess, the next time you think the Lord can't handle your situation, the next time you think that it's too much, or that we think that, oh, I've gone too far and he can't deal with all of me, if you see how I really am, if you saw the things I did, if you see the Lord the way I am, you can't deal with me. I want to tell you right now, that's a lie from the enemy. He can handle your mess. That we don't have to pretend with God. We can be real with God. I think so often we think we have to have this polished speech when it comes to us coming to the Lord. Here's the thing you need to do. Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. We don't have to have this whole polished speech and thing ready for us to say to him, go to him. He can handle your mess. Listen, God doesn't bless who you pretend to be. He blesses who you really are. You don't have to pretend with God. He already knows. And in this, in him already knowing, what? He still loves you. He still sees you. He still cares for you. He still wants you. So we don't have to pretend with God. He can handle our mess. He can handle our mess. This is an important picture for where we need to see God, right? So we see him where he's at, with all power, with all authority and dominion. He says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. It fills the temple. Why is this important? This is a picture of the beauty and the glory and the awe and the splendor of God. that Isaiah is the train of his robe fills the temple. The train of his robe fills the temple. Imagine for many of you, maybe you're married, you dream to be married one day, you're about to get married, but a bride, her dress is long, the veil is long. It says that the train of his, how beautiful is that bride? The train of his robe fills the temple. But look, the Lord is not alone. Look who is with him. Isaiah 6:2 says, above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two wings, he covered his face. And with two wings, he covered his feet. And with two wings, he flew. So he sees these angelic beings, these seraphim, these angels, mentioned only here in Scripture. Look at what they're doing. Watch what they're doing. Look at what they're doing in this moment. With two wings, they cover their face. Why? Out of reverence for the Lord, that his glory was so great that they couldn't even look upon him. So with two wings, they covered their face. With two wings, they covered their feet. Why? Because the place in which they were was holy ground. With two wings, they covered their feet. With two wings, they flew. Why? Because they were ready to serve. They were ready to move. They were ready to take action. This is the posture that we need to have as disciples. This is the posture that we need to have as the church, where we would see God rightly, that we see him high and lifted up. We should be humble. We should be reverent. We should be ready. I want to remind us today that the Lord does not need the worship of lukewarm Christians. The seraphim are not silent in heaven because they are singing a song. They're singing a song. There's a song being sung by the seraphim crying out about who God really is. Listen, look, his nature, which is not like our own. We're talking about God's character and nature today. It's not like our own. Crying out about who God really is. Isaiah 6:3. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Listen, the angels don't cry out love, love, love. The angels don't cry peace, peace, peace. They cry out holy, holy, holy. They have an understanding of who God is. He is holy, holy, holy. Look at me, we need to have that same reverence for the Lord. That when we see God, when we walk in this room, we would see him as holy, holy, holy. They say it three times. This is to emphasize God's absolute uniqueness and perfection, God's holiness. This means that he is completely set apart. Completely set apart from everything else in creation. He is perfect in every way. He is perfect in every way. The God that we serve is perfect in every way. Can I be real with us for a moment? Can I be real for a moment? Modern day Christianity has become too casual with God. We've become too casual with God. We talk about God as friend, but we forget that he is king. We talk about God as savior, but we forget that he's also Lord. We treat his word like options and not commandments. The fear of the Lord is born from when we finally see him as holy, when we see his holiness. Listen. What is he? What are they singing? Help me. What are they singing? What song are they singing? The same song that we need to be singing. What did they say? They say he is holy. 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 This song. This is not just a good song, but this is how we are meant to see God. Holy. 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 He is high and lifted up. He is holy. 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 He is perfect. He is holy. 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 I want to help us this morning Not because I'm trying to say, oh, you don't get it, but I think it's bigger than just us in the room. Listen, it's bigger than just us in the room. That us as Christians, that us as disciples of Jesus here, I'm going to be honest, specifically in the United States of America, we've started to lose our reverence for the Lord. Where we once again need to be crying out, holy, holy, holy. God's love is holy. God's justice is holy. God's mercy is holy. God's wrath is holy. This is how we have to see God. The next verse, Isaiah 6:4. And the foundations, this gets me every time. Look, and the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. The house was filled with smoke. The foundations of the threshold are shook. The temple shook when they heard that he was holy, holy, holy. The temple is shaking because he is holy, holy, holy. How much more should we as disciples shake in the presence of God in excitement because we understand who he is and we see him rightly and we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We understand even more than what they did then that this man was sent named Jesus who died on a cross, who was rose from the grave for me and you. How much more should we say holy, holy, holy? Look, even creation has to respond to God in his presence. This building, this inanimate object, right? With no eyes to see, no ears to hear, no heart to believe. Even it has to respond in the presence of the one true living King. Do we understand what we're talking about today? Do you understand what I'm saying today? We're talking about the character and nature of the one that we call Lord and Savior. And if we really believe what the word says and what the scripture says, we would treat him with greater honor and respect as Christians and especially here in America. I don't know about you, but I know for me, I would not let the rocks cry out in my place. That I would be. I wonder if there's a room of people in here today that would say, God is holy, holy, holy. Is there anyone, help me, is there anyone here today that say that God is holy, holy, holy? Listen, God is not common. Christianity is not casual. God is not common. I remember for me and Chelsea when we were traveling and we were in India on a trip when we were in YWAM. I mean, we would go and we would evangelize and different things like that. And we would talk to different people about God. And obviously, if you know anything about India and a lot of places in Asia, they have a lot of gods. And often what we see is like, oh, wow, this Jesus sounds good. This Jesus sounds like a nice guy. I think I'll add him to my collection of gods. No. 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 Listen. He is the one true living God. Listen, every other God is an idol who cannot see and cannot hear. He is the one true living God. Christianity, God is not casual. We have to be willing to be uncomfortable being comfortable, as some of you are right now in your seats. We have to be uncomfortable being comfortable. God is not casual. Worship should contain reverence and awe. We should be reading his scriptures, learning about who he is and what he says, what his text is saying, what the word, the pastors, what the word is saying for ourselves. Beloved, have we lost reverence and fear the Lord in America? Or are there those who would cry out, he is holy, holy, holy? My question to you is, have we become so familiar with the gospel that we forgot the power of the gospel? That it's become, the story has become just that, a story. That we've forgotten that this is not just a good story, but that he was a real man who really lived and really died for us. We cannot forget the power of the gospel, because the power of the gospel has the power to transform lives. The power of the gospel has power to save lives, to save families, to save nations. We have to remember the power of the gospel. Amen. Isaiah 6:5. Isaiah's response gets me every time. He says, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah, when he sees God, he doesn't compare himself to other people. Look at this. Isaiah doesn't compare himself to other people. We tend to do that sometimes. Listen, look. Instead, when confronted with God's holiness, he becomes more aware of his own sinfulness. And we have this tendency sometimes that when we are struggling, we compare, oh, it's not like theirs. But, oh, it could be worse. No, don't compare yourself to other people. Say, "Lord, am I living for you? Lord, is this what you have for me? Lord, I want to live holy and set apart for you. I want to live holy and set apart for you." When Isaiah sees God, he sees himself unholy, sinful, deserving of hell. But true encounters with God, a true encounter with God will produce humility. He says, "Woe is me." Not woe is them, woe is me. Pride cannot survive in God's presence. We have to stop comparing ourselves to other people, and we have to get our eyes locked on Jesus. Isaiah, in this moment, when you look at what the word "woe is me" means, and "I am lost," right? Isaiah is broken over his sinful nature. He's broken over the things, the sinful things in his heart. This needs to be us. Listen, this needs to be us when we get a revelation of who God is. This is what true disciples do. Recognizing that we serve a God who is holy and hate the sin that's inside themselves. Listen. No, listen. Hear me. I'm not saying, Ben, that sounds religious. You sound religious. No. It's not out of legalism or religious duty that I'm talking to you and I'm saying these things to you. It's because I'm in love. It's because we should be in love with the one that we call Lord and Savior. We don't do this out of legalism. We're not doing this out of religious duty. But that when we see the Lord and we see him rightly, man, Lord, I see you high and lifted up. You are holy. Holy, holy, Lord, meet me. Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. Lord, I help me, please. Like, we need him. Oh, Ben, you're not loving other people, talking about sin. I didn't say that. I did not say that. We have to love people and hate sin. Listen, we have to love people and hate sin. We tend to do, we love people and tolerate sin. We have to love people and hate the sin. Why am I talking about this? Look what he says. He says, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He is grieved, Isaiah. He's not comparing himself, but he's grieved for the sins of his nation. Could you imagine what it would look like if us here in America, if us, the church, the capital C church, could you imagine what it would look like if we hated sin in our nation? If we would stand up and speak truth in life, in love? Could you imagine what it would look like if we saw a generation say, I'm not ashamed to share the gospel? Can you imagine what it looked like? We've heard these different stories before. We've heard different revivals that have happened. And we've been we're praying that more revival is going to happen. But here's the thing. It starts somewhere. It starts when we pray. And we turn away from the things of the world and we go after the things of God. There's no mistake in this. Azusa Street Revival. You think it just magically happened? No, they were praying. They're saying, Lord, help us. Lord, change us. Lord, move in our nation. Move in our present. We have to be praying for our nation. We have to be praying. He is grieved for the sins of his nation. We have to be grieved and be praying for our nation. We need to be praying for our nation. It talks about in Scripture praying for our leaders. We need to be praying. We have to be praying. We want to see revival, we have to be praying. You want to see revival in your schools, we have to be praying. You want to see revival in your family, we have to be praying. You want to see that person who's gone away from God that's in your family be caught up and be grabbed, snatched up by God, we have to be praying for them. We have to be praying. We have to open our mouths. We have to speak. We cannot be silent. Can you imagine what it would look like? Listen, the devil is going to be in trouble. The devil is going to be in trouble when we, as the church, once again, the capital C church, stand up and we don't tolerate sin. Isaiah 6, verse 6 through 7. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. A seraphim, an angel, an angelic being touches Isaiah's lips. Why his lips? Because your lips are connected to your heart. He touches his lips with a burning coal and declares that his guilt is removed. He sets Isaiah on fire. Isaiah doesn't, look. Isaiah doesn't clean himself up. Look, we think that so often we need to have ourselves polished. We have to get ourselves right before we can go to the Lord. No, he wants you right now. Listen, Isaiah doesn't clean himself up first. God cleanses him. God cleanses him. Conviction is not condemnation. God exposes sin so he can heal it. And grace follows genuine repentance. God provides cleansing. And after Isaiah's confession, a coal from the altar touches his lips. Isaiah could not cleanse himself. He could not. God provided the cleansing. Forgiveness comes from God alone. Look at this. This becomes a picture of the gospel. What do I mean? Just as Isaiah was cleansed by God's provision, believers are cleansed through Christ. We have been cleansed by Christ. We've been redeemed by Christ, by his blood. That when he died for us, we were cleansed by his blood. His blood cleansed us. We sing about it today. His blood cleanses us. So you don't need to hold on to the past. But if you go to God and if you turn and say, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to serve you. Lord, I want to know you. He cleanses us. We're not worried about your past life. We're not worried about all the things you've done. I'm telling you, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. He sets Isaiah on fire. He purifies his mouth. He sets Isaiah on fire. We can no longer afford to be lukewarm Christians here in America. We have to be people who would stand up and see God rightly and say that he is holy, holy, holy. Is there anyone in here today that would say, God, just like you did with Isaiah, would you do the same thing to me? Is there anyone here today that would say, Lord, set my heart on fire for you? Is there anyone in here today that said, Lord, set my heart on fire for you, God? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom can I send and who will go for us? In a time of crisis in the nation, in a time of turmoil in the nation, in a time of confusion in the nation, of uncertainty in the nation, where they're not sure what direction to go, the Lord asked, who can I send to be a messenger? Who can I send? And who will go for us? Who today can the Lord send? He's asking us the same thing. Who can I send and who will go for us? Missionaries. You think missionaries are just those who go overseas? No. You're a missionary wherever God has you planted. And each and every one of you in this room, where are the missionaries? They're right here. They're in the room. And you are called to be one who would be unashamed to take the gospel wherever you go. It doesn't have to look the same. I think, oh, it has to look a certain way. That's not what I'm saying. But we have to be obedient to what the Lord is saying. Whom will I send? Who will go for us? I can't go to your friends. I don't know your friends. I don't know your family. I don't go to your work. I don't go to your school. But you are the ones who can make a difference. But we just have to respond and we have to say, Lord, what does he say? Look what he says. Lord, listen, also know this. The Lord is not saying this because there's no one else to choose. No, he's giving Isaiah an opportunity to respond. He's giving us an opportunity today to respond. This is a picture of salvation. The only response to a Christ who came down, lived, died, rose 3 days later is this. There's only one fitting response. And my question is there anyone today that would say, Lord, Lord, here I am. Send me. He's asking who will go. Will anyone respond? Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me, God. Here I am. Send me, Lord, to my family, to my friends. Send me, God. We, you, us, the church, we are meant to be those who take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And all of us in this room are missionaries. You are missionaries to your friends, your family, your loved ones, the people that you know. I'm asking you today, no, the Lord is asking you today, will you take action? Will you respond? Will you do something? I'm not saying no one's doing anything, but us as a church, listen, not this church, but as the church, we have grown to become silent to movement. We have to move. We have to take action. There is only one fitting response. There's only one fitting response. Here I am, God. Send me. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you an opportunity to hear from the Lord, not from me, but from the Lord. I want everyone in the room to close their eyes, bow their heads. I want you right now, in this moment, if you are face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that is holy, 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 what would your response be? What would you say? What would you do? And I believe there's a fresh invitation for each and every one of us in this room tonight to respond to what he's saying and ask even Isaiah right now in our own nation, right now in your own family, to where we respond, here I am, God, send me. It's not out of legalism. It's not our religious duty. It's because I see the Lord rightly that we respond. Lord, speak. Speak to us, God. Lord, would you speak to us today? Here's my invitation. Every eye closed, every head bowed. We're not worried about who's next to us. We're not worried about who's around us. Don't worry about what anyone else is doing. Right now, it's between you and the Lord. That what it says in the scripture, when he asks, who will go for us and who can we send? To your friends, to your family, to your loved ones. Maybe to the nations, I don't know. I wonder if there's anyone in here that would say, here I am, God, send me. So here, my invitation is this. If you feel like you're meant to say yes to that invitation today, here I am, God, send me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're not worried about what's happening around us. We don't worry about what's going on. With boldness, would you lift your hand in response to saying, here I am, God, send me. Here I am, God, use me. Here I am, God, I'll go there. I'll go to my friends. Put your hand down. I want to pray for us before we close. Would everyone stand up as we pray? Yes, God. Yahweh, we love you. Lord, we say that you are holy, holy, holy. And today, Lord, I pray the scales have fallen off of some of our eyes, that today we would see you rightly, Lord, high and lifted up. Lord, I pray that we would be those who respond to your voice, saying, here I am, God, send me. That we wouldn't be afraid or ashamed to share the gospel. Lord, I pray for a boldness for the capital C Church, but I pray for a boldness for this church, for ones who respond today. God, I pray you would meet us here today, God. That you are speaking, Lord, that you are touching hearts and transforming lives. God, we thank you, Lord, for sending your son to die for us. We thank you, God, that we get the opportunity to live a life surrendered unto you, Lord. Because nothing is more beautiful, nothing is more sweet than a life laid down at the feet of Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of our worship. Lord, we say yes to you, God. We say yes to you, God. We say yes to you, God. So today, Lord, I pray for boldness. As they go out, as they go forth, Lord, you would be with them, that you would lead them, you would guide them, you would comfort them, you would help them, Lord. And that we would be ashamed of the gospel. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we see you where you are, high and lifted up. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. We love you. And all those who agreed said, amen. Can we give it up for Jesus?